This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by Hooters. Hooters is the original wing joint since 1983. Hot wings, cold beer, summer seafood, Hooters style. 12 Tampa Bay area locations, and for those of you listening around the United States or around the world, you know where you can find your Hooters location. Remember, $15 gets you a bucket of 5 Corona, Corona Light, or Modelo bottles. Daily lunch specials starting at $6. Go boneless. 10 boneless wings shaken in one of Hooters' signature sauces with a side of fries for only $9.99. All day, every day. Find your location at originalhooters.com. All right, as I'm recording this podcast, I actually have the Thursday night game off in the distance. I've already seen the first play of the game returned to set up a Todd Gurley score. So there will be no review of the Thursday night game. I'm not even sure that I can actually watch this as much as I love the combination of Tirico and Collinsworth and NBC's production crew. Actually, someone you may know texted me moments before the game started. Some World Series winner named A.J. Pierzynski that I've known for a while, and he just simply said, "Why are the Thursday games so bad?" Well, I've got a few theories on this, and I'm sure you have your own as well. First of all, most teams are playing a Thursday night game after playing a Sunday night game. If there was only Thursday night football involving teams off a bye week, I think you'd see much better games. It allows the players to physically recover, and it allows the coaches to implement more of a game plan for that opponent. But they're not going to do that. And also, remember that the way the television contracts are structured, obviously, we generally get a good game on Sunday Night Football on NBC. That's the big money contract there with NBC. They get one game. They even get flex scheduling, so they generally get to pick what they want. There is a limit on how many times they can show the Cowboys or the Packers or the Patriots. There are actually limits. But there's a reason why you'd never see, in general, the Jaguars, the Bills, the Browns, and bad teams on Sunday Night Football. NBC doesn't choose them. They don't want them. Monday night, there's a chance you get some lesser teams there. But for ESPN's Monday night package, they often skip the bad teams as well. That means they have to play at least once on Thursday night. Because look through the primetime schedule for yourself. Any team in the NFL that doesn't get a shot on Sunday night or Monday night, they have to play on Thursday night. I think for 2 or 3 years running, we've had a Titans-Jaguars game on Thursday Night Football. Why? Because NBC didn't want either team, and ESPN didn't want either team. Now, that might be changing for the Titans going forward, but it's not like they have a lot of mass appeal. So you add all that up, and that leads to the Thursday night games generally being bad. But considering it's an extra TV contract, it's not going away. All right, so let's get into, first of all, let me give out the email. Again, I am 100% on returning any emails that any listeners to the podcast send me with questions about their team. You can send me anything involving your team. Who to start, who to sit, who to pick up, who to drop, trade offers, or even send me some daily questions. Just give me a little time to get back to you. Most of you are doing that. If you send me something and need a response within an hour, I'm probably not going to get to it, especially during the day. I'm usually on the golf course, planning a golf tournament, playing in a golf tournament, or just playing a casual round with someone who supports or plays in my tournaments, or I'm practicing. The email is toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. TODDWRIGHT, fantasyfootball@gmail.com. I've told you for a couple of weeks now, if you send me your unique questions via email, I will write you back. no one, and I don't plan to leave anybody out. So if you have a unique question that isn't necessarily covered in any of the podcasts, I'm there for you on email. Sorry, I'm not going to do this on social media. I'd rather you address me by name, tell me what's going on, and I'll write you back. I created that email for all of you. There's no golf there. Some of my friends don't even know it. It's for you. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Some people have already been surprised that I've written back. And then they write back to me and I write back again. I have no problem with it. I love being on my iPad at night just talking fantasy football. I don't have much else to do. You might have just heard my dishwasher in the background and it just shut off. Yeah, it's done. So I'm going to be unloading some dishes after this. So let's get into looking ahead to Sunday, Monday, week three. First of all, games with shootout potential. We love shootout potential games in fantasy football, especially considering look, a 12-9 game, a 13-9 game, and a 14-13 game, something like that. So Atlanta, Detroit, Oakland, Washington, New Orleans, Carolina, and Kansas City, LAC, which every time I look at it, I think of the LA Clippers. Kansas City, LA Chargers. Those four games look to have the most shootout potential. So if you're looking to break ties on whether or not I start this guy or this guy, that's usually a pretty good way to go if it's close. If you have a guy and you're wondering if you should play him, if he's in any of those four games and the other guy is not, and the other guy isn't a clear RB1, wide receiver 1, QB1, and I don't imagine you're changing your quarterback a lot. I know this is a bit of a tangent, but you draft a quarterback to play him. You know, if you have two quarterbacks, you have none. So sure, your number one quarterback, if he goes down the toilet, then you make a change. But I don't think you rotate quarterbacks if it's a one quarterback league and still the majority of them are. So Atlanta, Detroit, Oakland, Washington, New Orleans, Carolina, Kansas City against the LA Clippers / Chargers. I make the Clipper mistake more than I call them San Diego, but that's because I love the NBA. So if you can get guys in your lineup who are playing in those four games, it might be a factor in your winning or losing this week. For example, let me give you someone emailed me and said they hear me talking up Golden Tate a lot. And I said, yeah, I do. And I am this week. So let's say you have either Golden Tate or, let's pick another, or Dez Bryant. And you just don't know what to do. At this point, Golden Tate is in a potential shootout. He's in a more favorable matchup. So, yeah, even DraftKings would agree. There's a higher price on Christian McCaffrey or let me find a random running back on another team. Not necessarily a negative running back. Let's say you're considering playing Christian McCaffrey or, although I like Isaiah Crowell's matchup. Let me sort of think out loud here. A running back that I don't necessarily like the matchup as much, or it's just sort of your basic matchup. Let's see if I can find one here. Find another team. Jacquizz Rodgers. All right. And I own Jacquizz Rodgers because I'm not convinced Doug Martin is coming back to be the number one running back for the Bucs. I'm not. You got McCaffrey in a potential shootout. New Orleans gives up yardage to running backs catching balls out of the backfield. Tampa Bay, Minnesota might not necessarily be a high-scoring game. We still don't know about Bradford, even though there's more of a shift towards the run in Tampa Bay, even with the addition of DeSean Jackson, O.J. Howard. Dirk Koetter likes to run the ball. If he gets a lead, he's going to continue to run the ball, play a controlled offense, kill the clock. Let's get out of here. That's it. So McCaffrey would get the edge. because he's in a potential game where there could be a lot of points. And yes, I know it's a Carolina Panther game that we're talking about that could have a lot of points. But there are enough people whose opinion I respect in fantasy football who are looking at those fantasy performers in New Orleans and Carolina and saying, yeah, there's potential here. And some are even saying there's a lot of sort of prove it in week three. Because remember what I always tell you about player picks? As Matthew Berry says later in the season or in the playoffs, play your studs that I don't necessarily agree with, although I love Matthew Berry and his TV show. Play your picks. All right, you played your picks for the first 2 weeks. Hopefully you're not 0-2. You're probably 1-1. Maybe you're 2-0. Most people are 1-1. Now you get to tinker a little bit. Now you do. You get to bench some guys in favor of some other guys. You get to play some matchups. And you get to move some things around once you get to week three. There are a lot of players that's like, okay, prove it to me. Prove you're worth starting or prove you're worth the roster spot this week. There are a number of players like that. All right, let's just go randomly here. Some QBs that are moving up in terms of, again, I think you draft a quarterback to play them. You probably did draft a backup, although I would imagine in most leagues, you don't roster a backup. You can stream a backup on the week your quarterback has a bye, or if he gets hurt or you want to bench him, you just drop him and pick somebody else up. But guys like Carson Wentz and Alex Smith are moving up weekly. I'm not saying you drop your starting quarterback to play Wentz or Alex Smith, but Wentz and Smith are moving into the consideration of quarterbacks that are worth playing each week. QB's moving down. I know it's early. Russell Wilson, and keep an eye on Jameis Winston. Because if the Bucs are going to play good football, Winston's numbers may calm down because he's playing from the lead. Russell Wilson is being pressured on over 40% of his snaps. He doesn't have time to look at Doug Baldwin. So keep an eye on those guys. Don't overreact yet. But just, it's something I'm noticing. Even this week, when Patrick Daugherty is ranking best available by position in terms of where the quarterbacks rank, the running backs, the wide receivers, the tight ends, the PKs, and the defenses. Wentz and Alex Smith are moving up. Winston and Wilson kind of temper expectations. And it was one game for Jameis right now. One game. Running backs clearly moving up. Hunt after the first Thursday night game. Yeah, if you own him, you're playing him. Ty Montgomery, if you own him, you're playing him. I just wonder how long Ty Montgomery can keep this pace up. Also on Green Bay, as I record the podcast, looks good for Cobb and for Jordy to play and not like just be packaged or a decoy. So that might lessen a little bit of the expectation on Ty Montgomery. It should lessen your expectation on Martellus Bennett. And if you own Jordy or Cobb, just stay on it. But at this point, you're playing those guys. You're definitely playing Jordy. Cobb, he stays in the conversation. C.J. Anderson, with Denver off to a good start, C.J. Anderson's value is up. I don't know how long this can continue. If you own C.J. Anderson and he has another good game, might want to stick the toe in the water for someone that needs a running back to see what they might throw back at you. I just don't see this continuing with C.J. Anderson, but he could have another good game this week. Other running backs who could have a good game this week, Derrick Henry. That is trending in the Derrick Henry direction, especially with DeMarco Murray on the injury report. Buck Allen of Baltimore. Mentioned Christian McCaffrey in a shootout game. And let's see if Isaiah Crowell's got anything this week. I'm going to talk about Crowell and his DraftKings price in a moment. All right, wide receivers that are down. A number of these guys are guys you drafted to play, either as a wide receiver one or a wide receiver two. And I mentioned Patrick Doherty. He does the position rankings on RotoWorld. RotoWorld's work is excellent, particularly Patrick Doherty and Evan Silva. Here are the Patrick Doherty rankings for this week at wide receiver. Ready? Doug Baldwin is at 19. Dez Bryant, 23. Stephon Diggs, 24. Terrell Pryor, leading the NFL in drops, right there with Amari Cooper, 25. T.Y. Hilton, nobody to throw to him, 30. I got some DraftKings to back up how wide receivers are dropping as touchdowns are at a premium in the NFL right now. So that shows you're in week three here. You can start to tinker with your lineup a little bit. If you have a better option than Doug Baldwin or Dez Bryant or Terrell Pryor or Stephon Diggs or T.Y. Hilton, go ahead and play him this week. Play him. None of these – I mean, Terrell Pryor is in a potential shootout against Oakland, but if you have clearly a better option, this might be the week to make that move. Tight ends, a lot of tight ends are injured. Greg Olsen obviously out for a couple of months. No, I don't think – unless you have an injured reserve or a very deep bench, I don't think you save Greg Olsen. I think you cut him. I think you cut him, pick somebody else up, even in must-play tight end leagues. There's just no guarantee when he comes back and when he comes back what he's going to do at this point. Zach Ertz is in the conversation. Zach Ertz, I believe, was even quoted as saying, with Jordan Matthews no longer on the Eagles, Ertz is getting a lot of those passes from Carson Wentz. The Eagles really don't have a discernible running game. Dare I say, even this week, I think the Eagles play the Giants, right? I think they do. The Eagles offense kind of looks like the Giant offense. It just looks like it has a better quarterback. And I know I'm saying Wentz is better than Eli, but a better passing game overall. So the Eagles might be able to out-Giant the Giants in terms of fantasy potential. So Zach Ertz is he's a tight end one this week. I mean, he's right there with Gronk and Kelsey. And he's available in a lot of leagues on waivers. I just grabbed him this week. Jason Witten is another guy. As the Cowboys only have one touchdown. They're not much better than the Bengals in terms of what's going on offensively. There's all these other distractions. And then there's Jason Witten, whose numbers are as good as any or better than any tight end in the NFL right now. When all else fails in Dallas, you throw to Jason Witten. And a lot of other things are failing in Dallas right now. I don't know how long that lasts. One other sort of odd note. Is it Giorgio Tavecchio? Yeah. He's going off these days as a must-play kicker. Nobody drafted him. So if you don't like your kicker, or your kicker is on a team that's just not scoring any points, that might be your guy. Don't be afraid to drop a kicker and pick up a kicker. It's a damn kicker. All right? Sure, if you drafted Justin Tucker or Dan Bailey or Matt Bryant, yeah, those are big-time kickers. But if you have somebody else and you're just like, nah, his team's not doing it, not getting into field goal range, or he has a couple of odd misses, sure, I'd still stick with Gostkowski. But say you got Will Lutz. Maybe Tavecchio is a better option. He's ranked pretty high this week, again, with shootout potential against the Redskins. All right, let's talk about some DraftKings prices. First time I've done this on the podcast since they first came out for Week 1 Sunday games. So I just drew up a – I pulled up a league with classic plays rather than pick'em. Pick'em ranks them by tiers. Classic gives me prices. And prices tell you a lot, even if you don't play daily – about what the DraftKings analysis says about a matchup. Some things that stood out to me. Well, I'm gonna let's go quarterback, wide running back, wide receiver. Quarterback, Matt Stafford at $6,200 versus the Falcons. There's a shootout potential game. Alex Smith, $5,900 versus the LA Clippers / Chargers. Andy Dalton, $5,100 versus Green Bay. The entire offense of the Bengals is new. I know they've only had a week to put it in, but they've had a few extra days coming off the bad Thursday game against Houston. Dalton isn't that bad. He's not. And they do have A.J. Green, and he is not bad either. I've talked down A.J. Green for a couple of years here, but for the beating the Bengals are taking, A.J. Green is better than that, and Andy Dalton is better than that. And you can expect a healthy dose of Joe Mixon as well. Running back prices that stood out to me. Derrick Henry at only $5,300. Isaiah Crowell at only $4,800. Joe Mixon at only $4,500. Wide receivers, A.J. Green. Rather than buying A.J. Green, I'm just making the point. DraftKings for, I believe these are only Sunday games. Because, yeah, the Monday game is Dallas and Washington. I don't know that Dallas was included. I think it was all Sunday games I pulled up with this ranking because I don't see any Cardinals either. All right, so let's just assume all these DraftKings rankings I brought up were for all the Sunday games. Only one receiver was more expensive. I'm sorry. You know how many receivers were more expensive than A.J. Green? Three. So, again, if someone in your league wants to dump A.J. Green, no, you don't give him an RB1 back. No, you don't give him a wide receiver one back. But if you got an expendable running back that you may or may not play with weeks to come, or an expendable wide receiver 2/3, make a big move. It's still A.J. Green. DraftKings ranked only three wide receivers more expensive than him this week. That tells you something. Only six receivers are more expensive than Michael Crabtree. Off the three touchdown performance last week, Crabtree, everywhere you look, is ranked higher than Amari Cooper. Why? Crabtree gets in the end zone. Cooper drops balls. That's pretty simple. Also, another Golden Tate reference. And Golden Tate he's not a clear wide receiver one. No. No, he's not. But the argument for getting Golden Tate in your lineup is just there every week. Now, sure, if you have Julio Jones and Jordy Nelson, obviously you drafted them 1-2. I don't know what you have at running back. And you only play two wide receivers. Yeah, then Golden Tate at most is a flex consideration. Yeah, I get that. There are certain wide receivers you're not sitting for Golden Tate. But let me make the point here. Using the DraftKings price. Golden Tate is at $6,900 to buy on DraftKings this Sunday. $6,900. Here are receivers less expensive than Golden Tate. Tell me how many of you drafted any of these guys to be a wide receiver one or two, or were in your first 2 weeks lineup, right? These are all priced lower than Golden Tate this week. Kelvin Benjamin, Tyreek Hill, Stephon Diggs, Doug Baldwin, Devontae Parker, DeAndre Hopkins, Chris Hogan, Demaryius Thomas, Terrell Pryor. That's just some. Go look for yourself. Yeah, I think Golden Tate's worth playing each week. Unless, again, you have two wide receiver ones. All right. Again, send me your unique. Do I have anything else for you? Oh, yeah. Every week, I don't know, I'm sort of always fascinated with the best garbage time wide receiver in the NFL. And it does change. There's ebb and flow here. I'm still waiting for the Zay Jones thing. The targets are there on Zay Jones. Didn't Tyrod Taylor overthrow him, like, to win the game against Carolina at the end last week? I'm sorry I wasn't sticking around on Red Zone Channel to watch the end of that. But until we see a little more from Zay Jones or we're more convinced on Allen Hurns, it might be Jermaine Kearse. Jermaine Kearse is scoring more touchdowns than his former team, the Seahawks. And we know the Jets are going to play a lot of garbage time football. Now, I have a feeling Jermaine Kearse's output only lasts as long as McCown stays at quarterback. Kind of like McCown kept Gary Barnidge going. But right now, and this could change every week, Jermaine Kearse seems like the best garbage time wide receiver in the NFL, at least for week three. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters. Hooters, the original wing joint since 1983. If I finish this podcast and go watch the rest of the Thursday night game at Hooters, I'm sure the game will seem a lot better. With Hooters food, Hooters drinks, and the lovely Hooters girls. I thank Hooters for their presenting sponsorship. All season long of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, it is because of Hooters that we expanded from one podcast a week to two podcasts a week. You can thank Hooters for doing that. Hooters, the original wing joint since 1983. Find your location at originalhooters.com. Remember, any unique lineup, ad drop, trade offer, daily games questions, email me. It's easy. I'll write you back. Haven't missed one yet. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. And when I say I haven't missed one yet, I say I haven't missed an email yet. I'm just offering you a second opinion. It doesn't mean it's going to work out. You don't set my lineup. I don't set yours. We're all trying to do the best we can on a week-to-week basis, season-long and daily. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Many of you that are emailing me are also very nice with your compliments about the podcast, and I really do appreciate that. No, it's not hard talking into a laptop two nights a week, but I still appreciate your kind words about the podcast. It just shows how we all love fantasy football. That's this edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Good luck week three. We'll talk to you with a Monday podcast that I should cut either late Sunday night or Monday morning with a preview of Cardinals Cowboys, waiver wire pickups, and some other reaction to everything that happens in week three. And keep an eye on those injury reports. Chargers may be without one of their key corners. Lending itself to that potential shootout game between Kansas City and the LA Chargers. Melvin Gordon popped up on the injury report. Jay Ajayi and Devontae Parker also on injury reports. Jordan Howard on injury reports, although I don't think you're starting him anyway in week three, even though you drafted him as an RB1. Stay on the injury reports. There's a lot out there other than just tight ends, and it does look like Jordy and Cobb are going to go for Green Bay. That's enough from me. Good luck this weekend.